I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sabres roll the defending Stanley Cup champions 5-1. Who had that one when they walked into the building tonight? Surely not me. I thought Tampa would come in and show their prowess. Yes, they're without their best player in Nikita Kucherov. Yes, they didn't start their number one goalie, but wow, it did not see a 4-goal margin of victory for the Sabres tonight as they get back on the winning side, pick up their fourth win of the season in 6 games, and defeat the Tampa Bay Lightning by a 5-1 score. We welcome you back here to KeyBank Center. Brian Colzio with you, and this is the official Sabres post-game show. 5 goal scorers, all different tonight other than Olofsson, who had 2, Gajula, Hinostroza, and Haig, the other Buffalo goal scorers. Craig Anderson in goal, some very, very strong efforts, especially in the second period when the Sabres were not at their best, keeping the game tied. To me, that's the story of the game tonight. It's the second period when the Sabres were at their worst, when Tampa dominated them in the second period, shift after shift, where the Lightning had great puck possession in the Buffalo end, and it looked like some of these old Sabre Lightning games from a few seasons ago. They figured out a way to keep the puck out of the net. Craig Anderson had some big saves, some nice block shots. You get some luck along the way, of course. And then you fight through that, you keep yourself alive, and then Drake Kajula showing off the reason he's on this team, his speed, able to pull away from Sergachev, give himself kind of a partial breakaway, beats Brian Elliott. And the Sabres, who clearly on the ice lost period 2, walk into the room winning it. They go up 2-1, and then, of course, they put on their best period in the third. A goal early from Vinny Hinostroza. He took the puck away from Joseph on the blue line, and then a real laser of a shot to give the Sabres a 3-1 lead, and then a couple of empty netters. Tampa pulled the goalie very early with 5:39 to go. Elliott went to the bench. Haig scored right off the draw after Gergensen's wanted to put it up 4-1. Olofsson a few minutes later to put it up 5-1. And the Sabres end up winning this one 5-1, despite being outshot 36-25. And the shot attempts were 70-44 in favor of the Lightning. Anderson comes up big. He's the first star. 35 saves. The last time the Sabres beat Tampa, it's been a while. Got to go back to November 13th. 2018. It's a span of 7 games since the Sabres last won against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Next up for Buffalo, obviously they'll be trying to improve on their 4-1-1 record. They'll head out west. Anaheim, Los Angeles, San Jose, and Seattle. Next 4, all on the road. The Ducks are up first on Thursday night at 10 p.m. right here on the Sabres radio network. All right, locker room interviews coming up here in a moment. Let's get you a few highlights in while we wait for the players. We started off early, just 1:41 into the first period, and a shot from Thompson. The rebound put home by Olofsson, and Buffalo's on the board early.
Stamkos showing himself behind the net to force the pass out, and Haig will start the rush with a pass on the left wing side. Shot stopped by Elliott. Rebound! Scores! Victor Olofsson! 1-0 Buffalo! And the trend continues for the Lightning.
And that trend, Tampa has given up the first goal in all 6 of their games so far. Sabres on the board early on Olofsson's third from Thompson and Haig. 1-0 Sabres. Before the period ends, Alex Killorn gets a tip on a shot from the point for his third of the year with 1:34 to go of the period. That made it a 1-1 game. That's where we stood through 20 minutes. Into the second, as we said, Tampa dominating. They outshoot the Sabres 11-3. Some big saves from Craig Anderson along the way. And then in the final minute, Drake Kajula going in on goal, gives the Sabres the lead.
Sergachev with 44 seconds. That gets by, and now it's Kajula's got a partial break. Kajula on his forehand scores!
Kajula's first unassisted, using his speed to get away at 19:22 of period two. 2-1 Buffalo. That ends up being the game winner. It's our play of the game tonight, brought to you by Seneca Sports Lounge. You can bet on Buffalo with Seneca Resorts and Casinos. So 2-1 heading to the third. Sabres add to their lead at 4:25. Vinny Hinostroza with his first of the year.
Kick right back to the Sabres blue line. Mark Pezzik steps up through center. Drives the Tampa line. Hinostroza follows up with a shot. Scores!
Hinostroza with a real nice play at the Tampa blue line. Took the puck away from Joseph. Took about three more strides and then a laser to beat Elliott for his first of the year unassisted. Early third, it's 3-1 Sabres. Later in the period, in fact, Tampa pulling their goalie very early with 5:39 to go. Right off the draw, Gergensen's back to Hag. He sends it all the way down the ice, and it goes in to seal it.
Goaltender on the bench for Tampa, so the net is empty with 5:39 to go, and this puck's going to bounce in from the far corner. Hag just stood in the corner to the left of Anderson and let it float down the ice, and the Sabres add to the lead.
So with 5:35 to go in the game, Buffalo gets an empty net goal to make it 4-1. Hag's first from Gergensen's. And why not? Tampa pulls the goalie again. Sabres say we'll get another one. It's Olofsson's second of the game.
Now it's center ice. Empty net. Asplin sends a pass across. Sabres put five on the board. Victor Olofsson, second of the game. It's 5-1 against the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Olofsson makes it 5-1. All your highlights brought to you by Jim's Steakout, celebrating 40 years of mouthwatering hoagies and chicken finger subs. 5-1 the final. We're ready for live locker room reaction. Down to the room. Here's winning goaltender Craig Anderson live.
And Stanley Cup champs. That's a great hockey team over there. I think our guys showed up ready to play, put the work boots on, and, you know, try to frustrate them by just, you know, outworking them. And, anytime you win, it's satisfying. This is a tough league to play in. It's a tough league to get wins in. So, kudos to our guys for putting in the work tonight.
How'd you guys weather the start of the second period and then flip the game, I guess?
It's a matter of just, you know, staying confident and, you know, not folding under pressure. I think, you know, the message is clear is to, you know, to push back and play with the puck. And, that's always been the message from Don from day one is, that's a perfect team there over there. That's how they've won. They've won with puck possession. They've won with holding the puck, supporting the puck. And it's a great recipe for success. And it's one that's it's tried and true. So for us, you know, it's a good team to watch, a good team to learn from. Watch them hold on to the pucks, make plays, support each other. So for us, you know, be able to push back and capitalize on our opportunities. You know, some nights you're not gonna capitalize, you're not gonna get those bounces, and tonight we did, so it was great to see.
Craig, not really impressed by that, but just because this is such a young group and, you know, it's not an easy league to play, and sometimes younger guys have trouble handling those ups and downs in a game.
Yeah, I think it's about staying in the moment, you know, and even at my age and how much I've played, it's still, I have to keep reminding myself to stay in the moment and not think about the what ifs, right? That's the nightmare of playing this game is, it's the what ifs is the future, and it's like, oh, I made a bad play, or hey, I made a great play, and then all of a sudden the next play is not a great one. So, it's a matter of staying in the moment. I think that's any athlete's battle, and from the young guy right up to the old guy, they're always going to battle with that. So, we got to learn to cope with that, and you know, we're doing a great job so far.
You're talking about staying in the moment, and I mean, given the fact you're seeing regular time, what kind of groove do you feel like you're in?
It's a matter of just staying ready when called upon. I think right now it's, the schedule's going to get pretty hectic. Obviously, we're heading out west, but the back-to-back start picking up here with the big break there in February. So you got to be ready to be called upon, get your rest, manage your reps in practice, whether it's, an extra day or whatever you might need. And, it's a mental battle. And being mentally fresh, when you're battling in games, you know, even if you're losing games and you're in the game, it's a mental battle as far as, like, hey, we're right there. The mental battle of when you're down and out all the time, that can wear on you. But so far, we've played hard and we've been able to be in every game and compete. And It allows us to stay mentally sharp.
Greg, how did you feel about the goal? Do you feel Killorn made enough contact with you that it should have been called?
You know, the problem is that now every time you call a challenge and you get it wrong, you end up getting penalized, and that's a team you do not want to put on the power play. So it's, you know, goals are hard to come by. You know, it's one of those where I spoke to the ref after. They don't get the chance to watch it in between periods. So, you know, I watched it. There was some contact. Hard to say whether they would go either way. So you kind of deal with it. You battle through it, and you don't worry about what happened. You look forward. And, again, it's, you know, we saw in Jersey, you know, they took a power play out of their own hands by trying the challenge. So, you know, you're kind of at the mercy of the live play that the ref sees. And that's the way it was when I first came in the league. So you just kind of deal with it and hope the referees got, you know, a keen eye that night.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Okay, that is Sabres winning goaltender Craig Anderson. He improves to 3-1 on the season. Only one goal against today, 36 shots on goal. He ends up being the number one star tonight. And again, the second period to me, huge. When the Sabres were at their worst, he came up big. Back down to the room we go live. One of the goal scorers, Vinny Hinostroza, now up next here at the podium.
Yeah, I think if you watch our whole season here, it's kind of weathering the storm, trying to get to our game as soon as possible. Some games we're able to do it in the first, and some games it takes us a little bit to get to our game, and I think you guys could see that. It's tenacious. We're always on the puck. We're reloading through the middle, back checking. I think the quicker we could do that in games, the quicker we have outcomes like this. Between periods, we kind of talked about it. We weren't really playing our game. We were kind of giving them too much respect over there, and that's something we can't do. And as soon as we got to our game, it was a lot of fun to play tonight. So definitely a big positive for our team.
Was there anything that flipped that switch, or was it just when you started to roll some shifts there about 7 minutes ago?
Yeah, I think Donnie came in the after the second and kind of just told us, like, we're kind of just letting them dictate what's going to happen in the game. We got to go back. We got to hit them back. We got to go right in their face and make it hard for them, because first period and a half, two periods were really easy for them, and we're doing some things right. But once we were doing it right consistently, four lines, that's when you could see we really got what we wanted.
Vinny, are you making a more conscious effort to shoot? You hit the crossbar in New Jersey. You got a good shot off and scored tonight. I know Donnie's wanted you guys as a team to shoot more, and I think he's mentioned you also. Have you tried to shoot more?
Yeah, I think my whole career I've kind of been a pass-first guy, and I think I watch all the games, so going back, watching the Boston game, you kind of look at some of your shifts, and you're like, what am I doing? I should have shot that there, and stuff like that. So that's definitely been a point in my game where I want to do more, shoot first, and then look to pass if it's open. So I think past two games, yeah, just trying to shoot first, and it's nice to see one go in, and Kazi obviously got one yesterday, so we've been getting a lot of chances at our line, so it's nice to see some go in, and obviously three games in four days, it's nice to get the win today, so I'll just try to keep it rolling.
How big did your eyes get when you saw, you know, the seam you had and the ice you had?
Yeah, I think Pisser, he did a great job taking the puck in the zone, and I was kind of that secondary guy, and somebody poked it, kind of went right to me, and that's one of those plays where you're like, all right, I'm going to shoot this. I'm not going to look for someone else. So saw the goalie was kind of cheating the other way and just shot it. So definitely felt good.
I think it's lost in the four-goal winnable record, but how big was Craig's performance tonight, just being that backbone for you?
I think every game this whole year we've had great goaltending, whether it's Andy or Ticker. They've both been great, and it's kind of frustrating in practice sometimes. Like, we'll have a 3-on-0 and they're making stops. So those guys work really hard, and I think as a team we're really happy, obviously, with how they're playing. And when you have a guy like that, both those guys behind you, it just gives you so much confidence. You're not afraid to make plays. If you make a mistake, it's not going to end up in the back of your net most of the time. So we're not gripping our sticks too tight. We know these guys will bail us out, but we also got to play for them.
How many chips on the shoulder do guys in that room have? You guys heard what people outside this town said about you coming into the season. I mean, 4-1-1, you've been in every game, you just, you know, rolled Tampa. I mean, how many chips on the shoulder are you playing with?
Yeah, I think obviously we don't really pay attention to what people say from day one. I mean, we know the group we have in here, all hardworking guys, all guys that want to be better than where they're at in their career. No one's been satisfied with what they've done, and I think that goes for the coaches, GMs, owners, down to every player on our team. So when you have a group like that really wants to win and work hard for each other, it's you can accomplish a lot.
Thanks,
Thanks.
All right, there's Vinny Hinostroza. He had Buffalo's third goal, and he says, you know, look, I want this team to be tenacious, always on the puck. He says the quicker they can get into that style of game, the better. And I would agree. I thought they did come with that game early in the first, but kind of went away in the second, definitely got back to it in the third. All right, let's go back down. More live interview reaction here following the 5-1 win. Up next, here's Drake Caggiula live.
Here and finally won one in, so it's a big goal for me, but big goal for the team, kind of turned things around heading into the third.
With how quickly they closed time and space, is that part of the reason why you guys got out of your game, or what do you think it was that really came down to it?
Not really sure what it was. That they came hard early on, and just think our intensity level wasn't, you know, quite matching theirs, and kind of had a talk between the second and third, like big brother beats up the little brother, kind of just push back, and you know, we came out flying in the third and pushed back, and that's the way we need to play. We got to play in your face. We want to be the ones dictating the pace, and we did a good job of closing that one out.
When did you realize, because that was a weird play, the way that your goal developed, they went across, goes off the wall. When did you realize, hey, wait a minute, I got to turn the jets on here. I have a chance. When did you read it where you knew you had a chance?
As soon as it bounced over the other D-man's stick coming back off the wall, I knew there was an opportunity for maybe a 2-on-1 or just a 2-on-2, something like that. But it actually bounced off the boards a lot harder than I thought. And I just said, get on your horse and get going here. So I took off flying and decided to, you know, protect the puck a little bit from Sergachev. And you know, I was able to get the goal there.
Does anything stand out to you about Craig Anderson's demeanor?
Calm, cool, and collected. You know, he's played a long time in this league. He's seen a lot of different things. And, you know, not just the way he plays in net, but stuff he says in the locker room. Like, he's just got that veteran presence. And he's calm in the net, calm in the locker room. And we need a guy like that. We got a young team. And to have someone with that much status in this league, it's a big help for us.
You guys have played hard for 6 games. You're 4-1-1. People around the league see that score, 5-1 over Tampa. What kind of message does that send about this group?
Not really sure. I mean, we had a couple empty netters, which kind of changes the score a little bit. But, you know, we're a hardworking team, and, you know, it's still early in the season. You know, we're not going to, you know, start celebrating now by any means. We got to keep working, keep putting in the effort. And, you know, teams are, you know, going to make sure they come out hard against us. Obviously, they see our record and stuff. But, again, it's still early in the year. We're not ready to, you know, start claiming any awards by any means. So we just got to make sure we keep sticking to our game plan and keep doing what we do.
Thank you.
All right, Drake Caggiula there. He picked up his first of the season. He got the game winner with that goal late second period. 2-1 Buffalo. Then you heard from Hinostroza. He made it 3-1. The couple of empty netters add up to a 5-1 Buffalo victory. 4-1-1 on the season. Again, the last win against Tampa, got to go back to November of 2018. That was a game span of 7 games. Sabres will next play at Anaheim Thursday, 10 p.m., as the West Coast trip opens up. Okay, for all of you local affiliates, I'm going to say goodnight to you. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. And for all of you on our flagship in Buffalo on Sports Radio 550, more postgame coming up. Don Granato's postgame comments, highlights, we'll update you on the standings as the Sabres beat the defending champion Lightning 5-1. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. 5-1 over Tampa. We're ready for head coach Don Granato. Let's take you to his postgame press conference.
What was the message and what did you see from that point?
I'm sorry, you said when?
Before the third period.
I had a message for him. I didn't like what was transpiring and felt we needed to respond. And we, you certainly have to respect what they have over there, but there's something in giving them too much respect, and that can't happen. Can't happen.
Did you feel that happened a little against Boston and they had to learn from that and not do the same thing?
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, you have to respect everybody in this league, up and down, but there's situations where you can give too much respect, and that's a flat-out mistake. And that was something that we talked about.
So you can give that kind of message, and a lot of times a team just doesn't get it. They don't respond. What does it say about that group that they clearly responded to it?
Yeah, well, sometimes you'd love to give a message to your team, and you can't give it to them because they can't. Saying in a famous movie, they can't handle it. But, you know, this group, I'm confident. I have a lot of confidence in, and they're competitors. We got a locker room with guys that like to compete, and those are guys you can push. And certainly makes my job easier when you can push them.
You gave Haig and Pesek a lot of responsibility tonight. They were on Stamkos. Stamkos was pretty quiet for the day. Could you talk about the night that those two had in this game?
Yeah, it wasn't an easy night for those guys. They had a lot of, especially early, they put a lot of heat on us, on the forecheck and pressure, and there were some hiccups. We had lots of hiccups because of their pressure, but we also had layers of support through that. So, but they stayed on it, and they got better and better as the game progressed, and they were rewarded for it just because they stayed on it. They didn't waver, which is challenging under those circumstances to not waver.
Craig Queen to hold any mistakes, well, most of the mistakes you guys have, but from a defensive standpoint, I mean, what's led you guys to really contain teams to the perimeter as often as you have? You're not giving up a lot of quality against, you know, even a good opponent like tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Craig was phenomenal. He was great. He's a leader. You know, we have great leadership in him, and you know, we talked about Pizik and Haig, great leadership there on the defensive end, and obviously we know Oki and Z. So, we when we had hiccups, and there were many, we have layers, and we have guys working hard to back their teammate up when in the event there is an error, and I think you saw that. So there weren't many shots uncontested, which is a big key. You know, we want to make sure even if there's a hiccup, it's still a contested shot or a contested rebound shot. And our guys have take pride in it. That's, again, it's a credit to them taking pride in that.
You've talked a couple times about how we'll see what happens on the road. That's a whole different thing. That said, what does it say that they keep taking advantage of these home games?
Very nice. I mean, obviously, home ice is an advantage. So far, I don't even know what our record is, but at home, I feel our guys have, you know, and there were situations where even in the first period, we were overwhelmed at times, but there was no panic. There was a little bit of frustration, but not panic. And we had to get to the point of being ticked off, and they got there. So, and sometimes that's not easy to do at home when you're overwhelmed like that or in moments. So, you know, again, another credit to our guys and our leadership to push through that. And you saw Anderson come over the bench multiple times and timeouts, and his messaging was very good to our guys.
Don, how much of that is, I mean, there wasn't much belief around here for a long time. How much of that is the internal leadership of this team lifting them each other up to saying, we can accomplish this?
That's the credit goes to that internal group, definitely. The belief system, you know, I talked about it from day one, that middle season last year, we had to change the belief system. That's the number one thing we had to do. And we still have to do it. I mean, it's still not, you know, we don't have any long body of work on this. So it's still a major work in progress. But, tonight obviously is one more night of hopeful reassurance that, you know, you can do things. And the core guys, the core older guys really, really are key in that.
Because of what the consequences could be, did you give any thought to challenging their goal?
I did. Yeah, absolutely. And our video guys do a quick review of it. And, you know, you're battling. Our opinions can be one way, but you're trying to gauge, okay, is there enough there? Because it has to be, you know, so definitive in favor of the thing. So, of overturning something. So you're gauging that. And, but we did. We went through it. Our video guys did for us, and we just obviously elected not to.
Don, you said you had a message for those guys before the third period. 20 minutes later, a little bit of a swing there. What's your message after the game?
Well, we got to move on to the next game, and that would be it. But it was every situation you got to learn from. It's got to make you better. And you know, what I think the biggest lesson for us is, you know, we didn't start, they set the tone. And, you know, we were so far behind in setting the tone that's probably what we take from it. We need to, that's a good learning lesson for us. We stood around too much early. And, again, Craig helped us.
Craig almost exceeded expectations for you, given just where he was last year.
I can't say he's exceeding expectations. I mean, he's a pro. He's a competitive guy. He wouldn't have come back to play at his age to do the training you need to do So on day one, when I saw him in shape and as serious and intent as he did, it's all I needed to see. Nothing would surprise me after that, because he knows how hard this league is. And his body, you know, has not been on the young side for the last few years. So he knows what he has to do to compete at this level, and he showed that from day one. So this is not a surprise to me. You know, we try to do our best from the coaching standpoint to help all our goalies, to give them consistent shot patterns and things like that. But I think he's been great.
When he comes over to the bench, what kinds of things was he saying tonight?
You know, a lot of what I would have said, actually. Just, you know, calm down and excuse me. But, yeah, just more leadership. But calming influence, confidence, and that goes a long way. Thanks, everyone.
All right, there is Sabres head coach Don Granato and his post-game press conference. Bring it back up here to the press box. Brian Colziel with you at KeyBank Center. 5-1, the Sabres victorious over Tampa. Buffalo now 4-1-1. We'll update you here on the standings in just one moment. Final shot totals, Tampa 36, Buffalo 25. Again, the shot attempted were 70-44 in favor of the Lightning. A lot of that happening in the second period, but that is where Craig Anderson was at his best. Power plays, both teams 0 for the night. Sabres 0 of 1, Tampa 0 of 2. Three stars, all from Buffalo. Robert Hagg had a goal and defended the Stamkos line very well. Star number 3. Drake Kajula, the game winner on the breakaway late second period. He gets that goal. Star number 2. And Craig Anderson in goal, 35 saves. He improves to 3-1 of the season, star number 1. Up next for the Sabres, a trip out west, Anaheim, Los Angeles, San Jose, and Seattle. The Ducks are first Thursday night at 10 p.m. right here on the Sabres radio network. Also good news from this game, as far as we know from Don Granato, no injuries to tell you about. The injury report brought to you by Losey and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. We'll get Paul Hamilton's take in one moment, but first let's check the night in the NHL. For that, around the league, here's Pat Mellicaro.
Thanks, Brian. There's only one game ongoing. That's the Blues and the Kings. Vladimir Tarasenko's second of the season comes in the final stanza. 12:45 to go in the third. St. Louis with a 1-0 lead, trying to extend their winning streak to begin the year, currently 4-0, trying to make it 5 straight victories. Also, a pair of hat tricks between the Capitals and the Senators. Drake Batherson, 3 goals and 4 total points in a loss. TJ Oshie, 3 goals as Washington defeats Ottawa 7-5. The Panthers have with a 5-3 win over Arizona. The Coyotes falling to 0-5-1 on the season with their 5-3 loss to the Panthers tonight. The Flames roll the Rangers 5-1 tonight as well. Auston Matthews nets his 200th career NHL goal, but it's not enough. That was the first goal of the night. The Hurricanes score 4 unanswered. Carolina, 4-1 winners over the Leafs, who are just 2-4-1 on the season. Carolina is now 5-0, and Columbus with a 4-1 win over the Saints as well. And Brian, on Monday Night Football, Alvin Kamara doing it on the ground, doing it through the air. 9 receptions, 115 yards, and a touchdown, helping lead the Saints to a 10-7 lead over Seattle in Seattle tonight, 9 minutes to go in the third quarter.
In the last check we saw, it was pouring in Seattle. So another, as it was here all day too, as it is all over the East Coast. In fact, I know part of New York State, Capital Region, New York City, downstate area, now under a state of emergency. So I know it's not raining as hard here, but if you're listening down there, Sabres fans, be safe. It's going to rain a lot this week. It's not helping my October golf finish here, Pat.
I'm sure the Sabres will be looking forward to getting out to Anaheim, where I'm sure the weather is probably pretty nice this time of year compared to what we're used to here in Western New York.
I would agree. Yeah, Anaheim next on Thursday night. It's 10 o'clock. Then on Sunday, an afternoon game against Los Angeles. For all of you listening in Buffalo on WGR, that game will be on the bet 15:20 that day.
I won't be in costume on Sunday.
Okay. You won't be?
No.
All what? Right.
Just letting you know now.
TJ, will you be?
I might be.
All right.
I'll think about it.
I'll have to think of something good.
Yeah.
All right.
Paul says he will be.
He'll be in costume?
Yes. That's what I just heard over here on my end.
All right.
You can talk to him yourself if you want.
That's good. Paul, will you be in costume for the Kings
yes,
game on
I'll
Sunday?
I'll either be dressed as Matt Bove or John Warrow. I haven't decided which one yet.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, they both bring good insight, Paul, to the table, so you've got to make sure you're
they
right
do?
With that, too.
I hear John has many replacements albums that you can borrow from him if you need them for a prop.
Yeah, if I dress up at his, I'll just sit and complain all night long. So.
All right, Paul. Well, I know you told me in pregame I should have listened that you had the Sabres winning this by 4, so I guess I should listen to you more often. The second period, to me, Paul, is the story. The Sabres had their worst period, and on the scoreboard, they won it. That, to me, right there is kind of an indicative of what is maybe different about this year from other years. That period that we watched in the second, they normally lose the game there and they have no chance. Somehow they figured it out. You know, obviously Craig Anderson, a big part of it. But being outplayed in the second and then Kujula comes up with a timely play and they walk into the room with the lead.
Yeah, they did. I probably would argue with you that I thought the two final periods in Jersey were worse than that. And this wasn't good. I'm not trying to say it was. But I thought they were just absolutely nothing. They did. They had three shots in the second period, and all three were very good scoring chances. First one came very late in the period to Skinner in the slot. That was a very good scoring chance. And then the cross-ice one-timer to Bjork that it looked like it was in for sure, but getting over it was Elliott to make a phenomenal save, and then the goal was the third shot. So it was interesting that they really weren't shooting. They spent most of the time in their own end. Matt, it was all because their end was right where I was sitting, so I got to see most of it. And but when they did finally get three shots, they were all three were very good opportunities.
Don Granato said after the second that he had a message for his team, and two-parter here, Paul. A, that they gave them too much respect, which we saw against the Bruins the other day, too. They did that a lot. B, the team actually responded to the message. I mean, you know, you could say all the greatest things in the world and have the greatest speech ever, but it doesn't matter if your players don't listen and respond.
Yeah, Jersey, they were out of gas. It wasn't they gave too much respect to the Devils. This one was a little bit like Boston. The Bergeron line got on. It's like, ooh, no, these are superstars here. Uh-oh. You know, and that's apparently what was happening here, too. They were just, these are the two-time Stanley Cup champions, and we have to show them all sorts of respect. And Don Granato said in the postgame, yes, you must respect them, but you can't over-respect them to a point where, you know, you just let them bring the play to you. And, you know, he went in there with the idea, I need to get my players angry after the second period, and he did that. And it was a much better period in the second period. I'm not going to, you know, get too hard. I mean, John Cooper's won two Stanley Cups, so I would just love to have a conversation. I don't understand why he pulled the goaltender with two goals down with like 5.5 minutes left. It wasn't a power play or anything. I would love to just hear what his thoughts are on that and why he pulled it. And once it's 4-1, I think I'm done pulling the goaltender. I mean, their goals against is bad enough. I don't think you need another empty netter going in. But again, I feel stupid here criticizing a two-time Stanley Cup champion coach here. I just, as more than criticizing, I just wonder what his thoughts were, why he did it so early.
Yeah. Paul, just one thought on the Kujula game winner. He's on this team because he has speed, and we haven't seen him obviously maybe finish as much as he would like, but that's a play. I love how he's describing that he's not necessarily thinking about the shot he's going to get on. He's thinking about how can I kind of shield Sergei to run him down. Obviously, he goes and finishes the play with the goal. I thought that was it was good to hear that explanation from him.
Well, I had some people, why is he in the lineup? They should put Murray in for him. And I think maybe that goal is a little bit of what he brings to the table. First of all, he's an excellent penalty killer. Very. He has that speed. He has that desire to win battles. And they're right there. You know, Sergej is a big, strong guy, a lot bigger than Kujula. But Kujula turned on the Jets and said, this guy's not going to beat me. I'm winning this battle. I'm going to lean on him. I'm going to protect the puck so he can't get to it. I'm going to continue to use my speed, and I'm going to get loose. And that's exactly what he did. You know, that's the type of thing I talk about when, you know, he's very good at winning battles. You know, and we know he can fly. You would hope that he could score a little bit more, but There's so many things that he can bring to the table on the forecheck, the way he goes into battle, the way, you know, everything that he does. There's a role for him. Everybody's role isn't to score 25 goals. And you hear me pounding the table all the time. If you're going to be in the bottom six, you have to contribute something. And you hope that he scored goals at North Dakota in college, and that's why he was so sought after as a college free agent. The Sabres were right in on that. They didn't win it, but they were right in on that. But he's gotten to the NHL. He did have one 13-goal season, so he only had one double-figure goal season. I believe it was in Edmonton, and that's it. So, but there are very good things that he does. He definitely doesn't embarrass himself or deserve to be out of the lineup. You know, he is a role player. He fills it very, very well. And a lot of the things that he does well, including the anticipation, what a goofy play that was. You got one defenseman, Sergachev, on the right point against the wall. He tries to go all the way across the other side looking for a one-timer with his partner, but he can't get it. But he put it over there so hard because he was going cross ice that it came off the wall right in front of the Tampa Bay bench. And it came off so hard, Kajula's like, whoa, wait, I have a break here. So just to recognize the play, recognize this broken play that could turn into a scoring chance for him, I thought was great too.
Paul, let's finish with Craig Anderson. First star, 35 saves, obviously a big part of that second period. He seems to be also having a presence on the bench too. Don Granato said even during TV timeouts, like, he comes over there, provides some insight. So the plan for him to be a leader, obviously a good goalie, that has helping too, but to be a leader to these players is working so far.
Well, he's seen it all. You know, we know that. And so he knows what to say. He knows the right things to say. You know, they wanted him to be a mentor for Luukkonen, and that's because of the type of person he is. And that's why he's here. And, he's shown us that he can still play goal. I thought he showed that last year in Washington, and he only played seven games, but he did play a couple in the playoffs and again showed that he could still play goal. So, you know, I wasn't real worried about that, but he's exceeded my expectations. I didn't think the Sabres had the worst goaltending in the league, but I didn't think they were this good either. You know, I was somewhere in the middle where a lot of people were at the other end, and they did think the Sabres had the worst goaltending in the league. So, you know, he's come together. I don't think the goal that was scored on him should have counted, but with the rules, you can't challenge it. Anderson's absolutely right, and Don Granato, you can't risk not the challenge not going your way, and now you're going to put Tampa Bay on an early power play. The goal's going to count. You're going to put him on a power play. They score that second goal, you could take yourself right out of the game. So I understand why at that portion of the game you're not going to challenge it, but I don't think the goal should have counted. I think contact was made with the goaltender, which made the puck move towards the goal line.
Yep. Well, the way you explained it, Paul, I agree. So I guess you should be explaining these to the NHL officials. That would help the Sabres out tonight. I didn't think about it as hard when I watched it, but the way you explained it, I'm like, yeah, you're right.
I thought shouldn't count. The same thing when Cousins gets hit in the head.
Yeah, the elbow, that was clear. Jeez.
No, actually it was a shoulder, but still it was right in the nose. And he cuts him, but they're looking, they're talking about, well, he didn't cut him with the stick. Well, yeah, but aren't you trying to take the headshots out of the game? Shouldn't that be a penalty? I know you're going to put Tampa Bay down two men for 2 minutes. I get that, but he did it. You know, just because it's Stamkos and just because, you know, you don't want to put a team down two men, you know, it was right there in black and white, and they knew something was there, and that's why they got together, and I can't believe four officials would have missed it. But, that's just unacceptable.
Paul, thank you for your work tonight. We'll look for more from you at WGR550.com, and then we'll talk Thursday with the Sabres in Anaheim.
Sounds good.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton there. Buffalo winning tonight 5-1. Their record now through six games, 4-1-1, 9 points. Only team better in the Atlantic, the 6-0 Florida Panthers, who have 12 points. The Leafs, as you heard from Pat in the update, losing again. They are 2-4-1 with only 5 points. So the Sabres, so far, we know it's early, but
In terms of the Eastern Conference points totals right now, they are in second in the Atlantic. And I have two ahead of Detroit. Florida, Buffalo, Detroit, the top three that they've all played six games so far. So the Sabres will take on the Ducks next. Anaheim is 2-3-1. They've played six games as well. They have 5 points, but they have lost three straight games. All right, so a victorious Monday here for the Sabres. Somebody tweeted at me, said the Sabres through six are better than the Bills through six. 4-1-1 versus 4-2. I guess technically they are. Who had that?
I was going to say, raise your hand if you had that one happening.
Sabres ahead of the Bills after six games. 4-1-1 ahead of 4-2, yeah. I don't know how long that's going to last, winning percentage-wise, but hey, for the moment, the Sabres have the better one. That's for sure. I can't mathematically argue against
it. I'm sure there
it.
Were conversations about people saying, like, will the Sabres get more wins than the Bills again this year? I think, I mean, we're not there yet, but we probably have a better idea of where that might head.
Here's at least, yeah, another, TJ, another 60 minutes, though, of showing that what Don Granato is preaching is alive and well. Even in the period where it really didn't get shown, the fact that he asked for a response and an adjustment, and they did it. Like, that's to me is promising about that tonight.
In most other games last year, and I think we've heard this said quite a few times this year, the Sabres after that type of second period aren't coming back from that. So,
yep.
Good response for sure.
Yeah, they would have been down 3-1, and they would have lost 5-1.
That's right.
Instead, they flip it the other way. All right, a 5-1 win for Buffalo, and the West Coast trip's next. So take your afternoon nap. Be ready for some Sabres late-night games. 10 o'clock on Thursday, we'll have the pregame at 9 right here on the Sabres Radio Network. And with that, we say goodbye to you from KeyBank Center for tonight. I want to thank our crew, TJ Luckman, back in our Amherst studios, our network producer here at KeyBank Center. Pat Mellicaro, thank you. Jonathan Koziel, thank you. Paul Hamilton, thank you. For our pregame show host, the Bulldog, and our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, and our engineer, Tom Matty. My name is Brian Koziel. I thank you for listening. Final score. Sabres 5, Lightning 1. We'll talk to you Thursday night, Sabres in Anaheim, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.